Well, welcome. We're in week two of a series on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. And last week, we launched the series with a big idea that we said was going to carry through the entire series. And here's the big idea right here. It was a prayer. We were asking God, make us, Lord, make us a people of extraordinary prayer. It was a prayer for our church. It was a prayer for our family. It was a prayer for our community. Make us a people of extraordinary prayer. We're asking God basically to change us, to make us into something, to help us grow in the area of prayer. And we know that he does this. There's a theologian by the name of R.C. Sproul who says this about prayer. He says, prayer does change things, all kinds of things, but the most important thing it changes is us. Prayer changes us profoundly. And so here's why we're asking God to change us. Here's why we're believing that studying the Lord's Prayer, some of you may have memorized it as you were young, as the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, while studying it, will help change us and make us people of extraordinary prayer. Here's why we believe that. Because deep down, all of us need, all of us have a desire to connect with God, to connect with something, or more specifically, someone that's bigger than ourselves. And the most influential leader in the history of the world, that's Jesus, when he was asked, hey, Lord, how should we pray? Lord, teach us to pray. How do we connect with God? He gave us this. He said this. And so without further ado, would everybody please stand? We're going to do this every week in this series. And we're going to recite together the Lord's Prayer. If you don't have it memorized, that's okay. We'll put it on the screens for you. Okay, let's say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now here's my question for you. Here's my question for you. By the way, you did a great job. Give yourselves a round of applause. Sounded great. Honest question. Do you really know what you're saying? I mean that. Do we really, when we know it and we say it, but do we really know the meaning behind what we're saying? And just let me give you a for instance to illustrate this. I have a friend, good friend of mine, lives over on the west side of Danville. He's in the midst of a remodel. He's got a great house, great view of Mount Diablo. And I went over there and kind of looking at the ideas and stuff like that. I'm like, it's amazing now. It's going to be amazing later. But as I was standing there, you know, it's up on the hill a little bit, and kind of the noise from the freeway is significant. Sorry for all you West Siders, it is. So I just ask him, I go, he's a good friend, so I knew he wouldn't be offended by this. I go, does the freeway noise ever bug you? And he just looked at me deadpan, and he goes, what noise? He doesn't even hear it. I think the same could be true about the Lord's Prayer. We say it over and over again. It becomes rote. We don't really hear it. We don't know what it means. And so we believe we need to take a look again and again and again, a few weeks in a row, so that we can appreciate what it means. So last week, we just looked at the first line, this one right here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We took that apart word by word. And the ones that we focused on the most were the word Father and the word hallowed. And the word that Jesus uses for father there is a Greek word. That's the original language of the New Testament. It's Abba, which means dad. So I actually brought my youngest son up on stage, had him stand next to me for a good 5 minutes. I'm like, this is what Jesus is saying. When we pray, it's this. And I don't think that many of us realize or think or picture this, the love of a father and a son, when we're praying to God. At least I don't much of the time. But it's not just that, it's also hallowed be your name. And the word hallowed means sacred, it means holy, it means set apart, it means to be revered. So it's this, but it's also this. That was last week. So you can always go online, you can watch those messages on demand. Then we looked at the first line of the Lord's Prayer last week. Now this week, we look at the next line. And here it is right here. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Some of you, like I did, when I memorized it when I was growing up in a Catholic church, we memorized it as thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I actually heard some of you say that in saying it out loud. And the same idea, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this word right here, kingdom, is probably the key to understanding what this means. That's a combination of the word king and dominion or domain. We alluded to it in the song that we sang right before I got up here. You reign above it all. You reign above it all. We're singing to a king. Kings reign. It's what they do. This literally means, a literal rendering in the Greek, is let your rule and reign happen. Let it happen, God, on earth as it is in heaven. Similarly, let your will happen on earth as it is in heaven. So it's a prayer of humility. It's a prayer of submission. It's a prayer of surrender. I don't know about you, that is not my specialty. This right here, this line, this is radical. This is hard. I'm gonna show you how hard it is over the next few minutes. There's a Puritan preacher by the name of Thomas Watson. He had this quote about this very line in the Lord's Prayer. He says this, "When you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," you're praying that you may do diligently what he commands and submit patiently to what he inflicts. This is hard. It's hard to do diligently what God commands. It's hard to submit patiently to what he inflicts. Now, the key to understanding what this really means, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, is looking at this in relation to the line that comes right after it. And so I wanna put us, because the order of the prayer actually matters. Jesus chose these words very, very carefully. So you gotta look at verse 9. Look at verse 10. We're just looking at verse 10 today in relation to verse 11. So I'll put it up here. It says this, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," comes just before this line that says, "Give us today our daily bread." Now here's what we need to call out. I don't know about your prayer life. 90% of my prayer life starts with this. Give me. And I, you know, I humble it up by praying for other people and other things, but it's give me, give us. And you could probably relate to that too. Mind the order right here. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is saying, you gotta give the Father priority. He's VIP, priority seating, player parking prior to making an ask. Now he's not saying don't ask, because we have a lot of give us a little bit later. And you look at the gospels, you look at the scriptures, Jesus constantly encouraging us, ask, 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 ask after your kingdom come. Your will be done. It's as if Jesus is teaching as he's giving the Lord's Prayer. He's going, the purpose of prayer is not to bend God's ear or God's will to meet our will. It's we bend our ears, we bend our hearts, we bend our will to meet God's will. Put another way, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 at verse 6 says this, "For us, there's only one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and get this now, we exist for him." If you looked at our prayers and studied our prayers, you'd probably think that he exists for us. This is the opposite. We exist for him, to glorify him. And so let me show it to you one more time. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, before, prior to, give us. Now this right here, the framework for the rest of the message, I just wanna show you a couple things. I'm gonna frame it with three questions. So here are the three questions that I'm gonna base the rest of the message on. Why is this so hard? Why is it so hard to be your kingdom come, your will be done before we make our asks in prayer? Why is it so hard? But then next we're gonna look at this. Why is this so important? And then finally, because we want some handles and be able to apply this in our prayer life, how do we do it? How do we do it? So let's start with the first one. Why is it so hard? And I promise you, what I'm about to say, like getting in our mind and our heart, your kingdom come, your will be done before we ask for what we want, is actually harder than many things in our life. It's harder than having a good marriage. It's harder than raising kids. It's harder than parenting teenagers. And I got, as of this last week, I now have 3 teenagers in my house. It's hard. This is harder than parenting teens. It's harder than making money. It's harder than forgiving someone. It's harder than asking God's wisdom for making a change. Should we get married? Should we break up? Should we have another kid? Should we move? Everybody's thought about that in the last year. I mean, what are we talking about here? It's harder than that. It's harder than resisting temptation. It's harder than avoiding evil. It's harder than seeing God as dad. It's harder than revering God. Why is it so hard? Okay, you ready? Here, I'm gonna give you 2 reasons, and they're gonna bring some conviction, I promise. Here's reason number 1 that it's so hard. Because you are so good at building your own kingdoms. You are so good at building your own kingdoms that it's hard for you to get over yourself to ask God to build his first and foremost. Now, I'm part of you, and I probably should have put the royal we here, but I put you for effect, because I want you to feel this. You are so good. You're the cream of the crop. You're leaders. You're influencers. You know how to make money. You know how to acquire stuff. You know how to achieve. Like, this is a community. This is a church of achievers, overcomers. You know how to build, save, manage, move, and shake. You're smart, you're educated, you're accomplished, you are highfalutin. You can manage in the home, and you can manage outside of the home, men and women. Let me just talk about the women. This is Mother's Day weekend, and we love moms, and we bless. I mean, you are a perfect example of this. You provide, you sacrifice, you work. Many of you work inside of the home and outside of the home. Smart, gifted, talented, organized. You talk about organized, by the way. Kathy made mention of our women's ministries here at CPC earlier. Over 500 women a week over the last year just over Zoom. In normal times, like pre-COVID, when we would meet together, over 750 women meeting every week. And a volunteer structured organization. These leaders are like 3 deep, trained, developed. Man, I mean, it's incredible. For context, just so you know, a church of 500, a church of 750 would be in the top 5% of churches in the world in terms of size. That's just the women's ministry here. It's amazing. But, sorry, there's a but. Even though women, you are probably better at going, okay, your kingdom come, your will be done before your own will, whether you're a man or a woman, we struggle with the desire to build our own kingdom. And if you don't believe me, look around. Look at the kingdoms in our community. Look what we build. Look what we drive. We know how to build our own kingdoms. This is why Jesus says throughout the Gospels, I'll just give you 1 example, Mark 10:25, he says, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of the needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's not saying that rich people are bad, it's just saying the more, just put it simply, the better you are at building your own kingdom, the harder it is to not focus on building your own kingdom. And to actually say and believe, no, God, your kingdom come, your will be done before we start to make asks about our own. Now you're going, Pastor, I want to remind you of something. Some of you want to come up and put your arm around me and go, Pastor, I just want to remind you, it's Mother's Day. You need to be nicer. Like, this is a hard one. We want to build our own kingdom. And I know it is Mother's Day. This is why on a day like today, we've got some treats for all you women. After we have bouquets of flowers for all of you, every woman. We've got individually wrapped Danville chocolates. Did I hear an amen? Truffles from Danville chocolates. And then for you ladies who like a good family photo, if you go around the corner where the For the Valley sign is, like that thing is decorated for a great family photo. So you could take a good family photo there. You could share that, all those types of things. And the reason I call your attention to that right now is because I am trying to like encourage you a little bit, because the second reason that this is so hard is actually a little more hard hitting than the first one. Just is. So here it is right here. Here's the second reason. you don't really want to be ruled over by God. You don't. And neither do I. It's literally against our nature. So let me translate that. It's not natural. So we have a sinful, selfish nature that we don't want to pray or say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We want to go, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth. That's what we want. Like, put another way, we love Jesus as Savior. Yes, Lord, rescue me, save me from my sins. We resist him as Lord. Because Lord means Lord. Lord means literally, you reign above it all. And that's not natural. We want to be God. We want to rule. We want to reign. That's why this, and the this I mean is praying and believing. No, God, your kingdom come. Your will be done before we make any type of ask. We just have to admit, it's not natural. And it's not comfortable. But it is, listen to me. It is how we grow. It is how we grow as followers of Jesus. There's an Indian pastor, church planner by the name of Ranjit David, and he says this, and the this is that line in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done before we make ask. This is a prayer of submission in a posture of surrender that leads to a place of discipleship. And that's why it's so hard. We don't really like to submit. We don't really like to surrender. I'm just gonna say one more thing. It wasn't in my notes, but God put it on my heart, and so I'm gonna share it with you as well. Told you, this one's a little convicting. If you think back over the last 12 months, over the last 15 months, we have to be honest with ourselves as the church. The thing that we struggled with the most was not a fear of COVID. It was not the fact that our kids weren't in school, although those were legitimate concerns and struggles. The thing that we wrestled with, the thing that we resisted, the things that bugged us the most was feeling controlled. We don't want to be reigned over by a government, and let's be totally honest, church, we also don't want to be reigned over by a God in our heart of hearts, which is why Jesus has to teach us its importance right here in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. And so this brings us to our second question we have to answer. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? And the simple answer is this right here. It's the heart of the gospel. This nuance right here in the middle of the Lord's Prayer is the heart of the gospel. And that the word gospel, that means good news. It's the good news of what God has done for us in the sacrificial death on a cross, resurrection to new life of Jesus Christ. We can have forgiveness of sins. We can have an eternal relationship with God the Father by faith in Jesus Christ. But that faith begins with surrender. With, I submit to you and your, I need a rescue. You're better at leading and lording over and reigning over my life than I am. So there's a little bit offensive when you think about it, but it is the heart of the gospel right here in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. It's the inside outness of the gospel. It's the upside downness of the gospel. You've heard Jesus Christ teach, in order to gain your life, you gotta be willing to lose it. You see in scripture, the Bible teaches that the way to find yourself, find your happiness, is not to seek yourself. It's not to seek primarily your will or your happiness, it's to seek God in his righteousness. The next series that we're gonna do starting in the summer, for those of you that are gonna be around and wanna be a part of what we're doing in the summer, we're gonna teach verse by verse, passage by passage, through the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, calling it the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And as we go passage by passage, it starts with a section called the Beatitudes, where Jesus starts, blessed or happy are those who, and he gives a few things. And in Matthew 5 at verse 6, he says, happy, blessed are those who hunger and seek, not happiness, not blessedness, righteousness. See the order? Once you see something, even in the Lord's Prayer, you realize, oh my gosh, it's all over the place. Matthew 6, 33, a little bit later, says this, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Sound familiar? Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And then all these things will be given to you as well. Another place, wisdom literature, Psalm chapter 37 at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord first, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So you might hear that and go, oh, okay, if I just put God first, then I get everything I want? Don't miss the effect of this. When you pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done first, what happens is he changes your heart. You begin to desire his things before your things. Like, it's an incredible inside out transformation. This is why it's so important to understand this right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. The key to happiness is not pursuing happiness, it's to pursue holiness. You chase holiness, you get both, holiness and happiness. You chase happiness alone, you get neither. So Jesus says, one of the keys to relating to God is to put your kingdom, your will, Father, before give me. Last couple weeks, as I've studied and wrestled with this, I have felt an incredible amount of conviction in a few areas I just want to share with you. The first one is in my own prayer life. In my personal prayer life, as I was looking at this, I said, Lord, give me eyes to see, give me ears to hear whether or not I really need to work on this area. And he said, oh, you better believe it, bud. Because so many of my personal prayers are give me, so little leads with, Lord, your kingdom come in my life, in my family, in this church, in this community, your will be done. So that's my personal life. Then we're in a small group. We're like a couple small group. I said, Lord, give me ears to hear what we pray about in our small group. So we get to prayer request time, just like you in a group, you pray at the end. All, give me. Of course, we humble it up, give me on behalf of somebody else, give me on behalf of a family member. So little is, God, your kingdom come in my life and in my family. Your will be done in and through me in this place on earth. Make your name famous in this valley, in this church. Like, doesn't happen. You might go, oh, well, those people aren't holy enough, so what about your staff at CPC? I listen to our staff prayer requests. More conviction. Give me. You might say, higher. So I listened to our prayer request this last week at our board meeting. These are the elders of our church that I'm called to lead and shepherd. We get to prayer requests. I have to tell you, and I did. I spoke out, I shared. I go, I'm just convicted by what I'm reading and what I'm studying in Scripture. Like, we're not... The order is not right. It's not your kingdom come, your will be done enough. Not even here. And we're charged with the spiritual care of our church first and foremost. We need to ask God to grow us in this key area. And maybe you're thinking the same thing. So important. It's hard, but it's also important. So before, we've got a few minutes left. How do we do it? Here's some tangible, practical ways to do it. First way, pray the Scriptures. I'm talking with your Bible. When you spend time, open up God's word. And maybe it's a devotional where it has some of God's word. But mark that thing up. Use a pen, use a highlighter, take notes. If you don't have a Bible, come to me, come to one of our staff people. We will give you a Bible. One of the best ways is to pray the Scripture. Scripture is how we best know what God actually wants to do in the world. The pastor who wrote a book on prayer, his name's Mark Batterson. It's called The Circle Maker. Here's what he said. One thing is certain, our most powerful prayers are hyperlinked to the promises of God. When you know you're praying the promises of God, you can pray with holy confidence. Pray the Scriptures, mark it up, highlight it in the midst of your study or your reading. Another thing also having to do with Scripture. A lot of this is very tied to Scripture. Here's the second thing. Memorize Scripture. Commit verses to memory. See, the idea is we want to get God's word in little digestible chunks in here and in here. And here's why, because Jesus made it really clear. He says, Luke 6:45, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we get God's word, if we get Scriptures into our heart, then when we're speaking, when we're praying, it just kind of flows out. And let me give you a tangible example of this. As probably everybody in this room could think of someone, you go, gosh, when I listen to her pray, I really appreciate the way that she prays. Or when he prays, I love listening to him, but we have someone who we admire, we appreciate the way that they pray. Chances are those prayers, those people, have scripture laced throughout their prayers. And literally, God uses that memorized scripture to form their will and conform it to the Father. So they're probably quicker to go, your kingdom come, your will be done, in the types of prayers that they pray before they're making their personal asks, which are also welcome. A couple more tangible examples. Families. I've heard of families, I've talked to a few families just in the last week who said this series, they're going line by line and I talked to another one right after the last service. They're going line by line and they're memorizing as a family the Lord's Prayer. I'm like, amazing, perfect, beautiful. You'll be amazed at when you get that inside your heart, how that shapes your prayer life. Another example, I know many of us, hundreds, maybe thousands in this church, are in small groups, little ministries, little small group Bible studies. One easy way to do this is with your small group, have someone at the next meeting just go, let's make a list. Everybody share their favorite scripture and document a list. Even if there's overlap, and commit 1 week at a time or one meeting at a time, just memorize one scripture. You'd be amazed. I mean, you guys are so smart. And those deposits of God's word into your heart will shape your prayers, will shape your perspective. Just a tangible way to memorize scripture. Okay, last one and then we'll wrap up. Intentionally focus on Jesus. You know, I think, okay, that's like the be all end all, cover all answer in church, focus on Jesus. Here's what I mean. Now, I add the word intentionally, focus on Jesus because of how well he models this in his own life. So let me show you a couple encouragements. First one from Hebrews chapter 12. We're encouraged, fix your eyes on Jesus. That's a focus phrase. The pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, that's a focus word, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It is hard. It can be discouraging. Gosh, I want to grow in my prayer. Consider him. Fix your eyes on him. And the reason we can do that is he perfectly models what he's asking us to do in his prayer. Here's the best example. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night that he was going to the cross to bear the wrath of all of our sins, in that garden, he was wrestling with the cup of suffering, as he refers to it, which is the cup, just a figurative way to say the wrath of all of our sins. He's wrestling with God, and he's feeling the weight of it so much. He was stressed out so much, he was literally sweating blood, the scriptures tell us. And so he says to his friends, his best friends, the disciples, please stay up with me. I need your prayer support right now. And they all fall asleep. They did. And so he wrestles alone with God. And here's what he says in Matthew chapter 26. He says, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup, this suffering, this wrath that I'm about to bear be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Do you see him model it perfectly? Your kingdom come, Father. Your will be done in my life. And just so you think, well, that's Jesus. Like, even Jesus, this is so hard. So give yourself grace in this. This was so hard. Even Jesus himself had to remind himself of this twice in this moment. Three verses later, verse 42, he says, my Father, again, may your will be done. It's not easy. It's not easy. So I was thinking of a tangible example just to kind of like illustrate what this looks like in our lives. And it's probably because it's Mother's Day week. I was just thinking a lot in this last week of my own mom who passed away a few years ago. And as I thought about her, I thought about kind of how she died of cancer. And when she was first diagnosed with cancer, this is probably close to 7 years ago, at first it was colon cancer. And so then they aggressively went after it, and they tried to reduce it, and they had a surgery, and they took it out with margin. And I just have to confess this, as I began to pray for God to heal my mom, not like 95%, like 100% of my prayers started with give me. It was not your kingdom come, your will be done. It was, Lord, heal my mom 100%, completely. Yeah, for the glory of your name, but just, I want healing. I want more time with her, more time with her with my boys. Come on, Lord. And at first it looked like that was indeed his will. Because 4 months in, they had this surgery and they took out this mass with margin and they pronounced her, ready for this? Cancer free. So we rejoiced. And I said to the Lord, it's so great, Lord, when your will agrees with my will. And they did a scan right after that and it had spread. It actually was everywhere. And pretty soon there were 4 types of cancer. And it was in her lungs and it was in her brain and it just went the other way very, very quickly. And so as I watched my mom kind of deteriorate and realized, I don't know the will of the Father. My role is to submit, is to surrender my will to the Father first and then make my asks. But it got close to the end and she actually passed away early morning hours on August 3rd. And ironically, we had a trip, our family, planned that day. We were supposed to fly to Bridget's parents' house. And so my mom passed away early that morning. And we had a little family meeting, like, what do we do now? And we just decided everybody needs a little bit of space. And so my stepdad, who had kind of nursed her to her death, said, you need to go away as a family. You need to catch your breath and I need some time. And then we'll come back and plan what we need to plan. And so we did. We got on that plane and I was in a fog. I was in a funk. I just remember flying out there. And I got to Bridget's parents' house. They live on this lake. And I didn't really want to talk to anybody. And so I just walked straight, grabbed this stand-up paddleboard and like paddled out in the middle of this lake. And I was bawling, like way more than this. And I just remember almost falling into the water. I was just hands on, and I was doing all the stuff that you would do, just screaming like, why, Lord? Like, why did this have to be your will? And I've never heard the audible voice of God, but there have been a few times where I have heard of a whisper. And I just felt like Jesus whispered to me out there on the lake. He just said, am I enough? Like, Tyler, am I enough for you? And I was reminded, like, yes, Jesus, you are enough. Your love is enough. Trusting in you is enough for me. Your presence is enough for me. And you have proven trustworthy. Your sacrifice for my sins, your obedience to the cross, your powerful resurrection from the grave, your promise to make all things new, your standing ovation and personal welcome to my mom as she entered heaven to worship you for all of eternity. Yes, you are enough, but it's a battle, isn't it, church? To pray and to really mean in our hearts, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven before we make our asks. Would you stand so I can pray for you and be on our way? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would simply make us a people of extraordinary prayer. Before that, we stop, we pause, and we just say, you are worthy of adoration and praise. You are the ruler. You do reign. Your kingdom is at hand because you, our King, came to the earth. So you do reign above it all. Make much of your name in this church, in our families, in this community. Draw people to yourself, to that freedom that comes from self-forgetfulness and prioritizing above all else the will, the perfect will of God the Father. We adore you, we thank you, we love you. Yet we confess we are so good and so caught up in building our own kingdoms. I confess, I'm so caught up in this. We confess we don't want someone to rule over us. We don't want in our natural self a God who takes priority in our lives. We resist that and we confess that. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy and your love. Thank you for your patience with us. So Lord, we ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done here in this place, here in our church family, here in our neighborhoods, in our community, here in our marriages, here in our relationship with our kids, in the region, in the nations. And finally, Father, we ask your blessing today on all these amazing moms in our midst. Part of the way you accomplish your kingdom and your will is through the God-ordained role of motherhood. So we thank you for them. We pray your blessing over them. And yes, for those of us who have moms who have gone to heaven already, we do miss them, but we thank you for the role they have played and are playing in our lives. Continue to bless, continue to equip, continue to draw other people, including our kids, closer to you, God, through the ways that they live out this amazing role as moms. May they feel your blessing, your love, and your approval. This morning among all days, we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen, church. Amen, church.